At those conventions, there were classes that we would go to, such as raising G-rated kids in an R-rated world, a one-year plan for preaching, programming your worship ministry to grow. It takes a team to build a children's ministry, finding harmony in church music. Now, while all of these classes are great, that last one is the one that made me feel the most blessed. I mean, during the class discussion, there were people telling horror stories of division within their church over the style of music and instruments used at their churches. I mean, I felt blessed because so far, all I've noticed here are people who are supportive and encouraging to those who play instruments or sing specials. Yeah, I remember learning this while I was still in high school and going to First Christian Church in Orangefield, Texas, my home church. But there was an older man. He must have been upper 80s, maybe early 90s. This man, he would get up and sing a special, and you really couldn't understand this man, and he would cough and choke his way through the whole song. Yeah, I remember thinking, why do they even let this man sing? I can still remember the older couple behind me who said to each other, isn't it great that he still wants to serve the Lord? You know, then, at the church in Macon where I preached, we had a worship band that consists of guitars, drums, piano, keyboard, and even maracas. And there was this young kid about 12 years old. He's trying to learn the guitar, and he was up on stage with the band playing his heart out and messing up. And sometimes I can remember what that older couple said, and I thought, praise the Lord that he wants to serve in that way. See, there are people in churches everywhere that think that the service is about them or about the people in general. I mean, we get this mentality sometimes where we think that we are the audience, but we're not the audience. God is the audience. You know, this service isn't about us. It's about Him. You know, the problem isn't just a 21st century problem. The Lord said through Isaiah in chapter 29, verse 13, He says, these people, they draw near with words and honor me with their lip service, but their hearts are far from me. And Jesus said the same thing in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, and even in Mark chapter 7. He said, Jesus says, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men, neglecting the commandments of God. You hold to the tradition of men. You know, a man died and was in heaven with the Lord, and Jesus was showing him around. Jesus said to the man, it's Sunday on earth, and your congregation is in the middle of the service. Would you like to see? The man was ecstatic, and he said he'd love to. So God took him over to the balcony overlooking the congregation. The man could see on the page of the hymnal that they were singing his favorite song, but he couldn't hear anything, so he looked to the Lord, and he asked if he could turn on the audio. The Lord looked at him with a sad face and said, we can only hear things that are from the heart. Now, what is true worship? Now, this month, we are going to try and look at several different aspects of worship. And today we're looking at how worship is more than just singing. Folks, we are to experience God when we come to the services. I mean, it is like when a certain minister was conducting a children's moment. The minister, he called up all the children to come forward for the children's sermon. And after they had seated themselves on the steps of the stage, he announced he was going to talk about frogs. He asked the group, when I say frog, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Now, promptly a child answered, God. Now, surprised, the preacher asked the obvious puzzlement, why do you think about God when I say frogs? The child responded, because I know you didn't bring us down here to talk about frogs. And folks, we do not come to services to experience frogs. You know, one of the things I've said before, and I'll say it again, you know, it doesn't matter if we are singing hymns or choruses or scripture. I am singing them to the Lord. I mean, many times you can look at me and it doesn't matter what we're singing. My eyes are closed and I'm focused on Him. And I love to sing songs that I can sing as a prayer to the Lord. And I don't have to sing them in key, because you know I can't, or even out loud. I just need to sing them to Him. You know, Amy and I, we watch HGTV together. Now, one thing you need to know is that that is not one of my favorite things to watch. I mean, I'd rather watch a Western or action or something that's funny. But when I sit down to watch it, I don't do it for me. I do it for her. Why? Because I love her and I enjoy being next to her. I mean, she's my best friend. Let me read you some more scripture on this subject. Over in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 through 16, it says, "Through Him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruits of lips that give thanks to His name, and do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." Now, over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, it says, "Be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And even over in Colossians 3:16, it says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." You know, Jesus said to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, verses 19 through 24, He says, "Hey, believe me, there is an hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father." See, you worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But He says, "But an hour is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." You know, A.W. Tozer, he said, "Worship is the missing jewel of the church." Actually, someone once said, we have become a generation of people who worship our work at our play, and play at our worship. See, worship is when we communicate to God our love and respect for who He is. I mean, our thanksgiving and devotion for what He's done for us. It means we attribute worth to Him. We demonstrate the significance of Him and communicate our love for Him by what we say and how we act. You see, worship is not something that's done for us or something that we watch happen. It's something that we do. You know, while we bury the music to connect with different people, the simple reality is that we aren't doing this for us. We're doing it for God. You know, we use music so we can communicate with Him the language of our hearts. But honoring Him is the goal. It's a reminder that we all need. See, when it comes to worship, we tend to think that the people up front are the performers and the congregation is the audience. But in reality, we are all performers and God is the audience. See, worship is attaching our highest value to God. I mean, it's not about what we receive so much as what He receives. It's something we do for Him. You know, William Hendricks, he wrote in his book, Exit Interviews, "The most significant benefit of a worship service is connecting with God. It does not matter how captivating the drama, how stunning the soloist, or how relevant the message. When interaction with God is absent, the church loses much of its appeal." See, people come to church because they expect to find God there. See, that's what worship is all about, meeting God and giving Him something. And as we gather together as a family of faith, as we worship together as brothers and sisters in Christ, the primary result is that God will be honored, but we'll be strengthened as well. See, our singing should be a time of celebration. We are to focus on the words and be excited about all that God has done for us. And I love our greeting time when people are smiling and shaking hands and hugging each other. See, I know as a father, I love it when my children are getting along. And I think our Heavenly Father delights in seeing us interact with each other in a loving way as well. I try to use some humor in my sermons because laughter not only helps keep your attention, it reminds us that Christianity isn't dull or depressing. It's really joy-filled. You know, even the offering can be a time of celebration. Remember what the Apostle Paul said, that God loves a cheerful giver? I mean, it's a time for us to be excited and show God our appreciation for His blessing. I mean, we even applaud after baptisms and to welcome new members because it shows our joy at receiving them into the family. But a vital part of worship is celebration. I mean, we should come before God not just in spirit, in the spirit of celebration, but also in an attitude of respect and maybe submission as well. For instance, our communion time. I mean, it's quiet. It's reverent, not because we aren't excited about salvation through Jesus, but because we're showing respect for the awesome sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, that He made for us. Even prayer time is also typically a quiet time, because we want to honor God with our focused attention and not be distracted by those that are around us. But yet, still further, we listen intently when Scripture is read because it is the very Word of God and it deserves our full attention. Now, of course, the umbrella over all of this celebration and reverence is thanksgiving, an attitude of gratitude. And I mean, we're even celebrating this month Thanksgiving. And really, worship comes all together as Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to God. You know, we should never forget that our worship must be clothed with gratitude so God will hear how thankful that we are for His love and His care for us. See, we worship God with our whole heart. We focus in on Him and what would please Him rather than what we like or what would please us. See, worship really is more than just singing. See, worship is giving to God what He deserves. Worship is giving Him all of us in all that we do. You know, in all reality, our lives is a worship. What we say, what we do, how we act. If we are a follower, we are a believer of Jesus, then our lives is a worship. You know, a parable is told of a community of ducks waddling off to duck church one Sunday to hear their duck preacher. After they waddle into the duck's sanctuary, the service begins and the duck preacher spoke eloquently of how God has given the ducks wings with which to fly. He pounded the pulpit with his beak and said, "With these wings, there is nowhere we ducks cannot go. There is no God-given task we ducks cannot accomplish. With these wings, we no longer need to walk through life. We can soar high in the sky." Shouts of amen were quacked throughout the duck congregation. The duck preacher concluded his message by exclaiming, "With our wings, we can fly through the life. We can fly." More ducks quacked out loud amens in response. Every duck loved the service. In fact, all the ducks that were present commented on what a wonderful, powerful message they had heard from their duck preacher. And then they left the church and waddled all the way home. You know, how often do we waddle to church, waddle through our worship, and then waddle back out the same way we waddled in. See, it doesn't have to be that way. Begin to put these practices in, put these principles in practice, and you will begin to express genuine love for God through our worship. You see, God is the audience, and we need to give Him ourselves. That is the ultimate worship. Pray with me. Father, we do come to You, and we come together as our family and believers. And we do sing songs praising You and giving You glory. Father, we even stand and listen to Your word. But Father, I pray that what we do and say and act in this building, in this room, in our lives, it becomes a sweet, sweet fragrance to You, a sweet, sweet sound to Your ear. Because You are who we praise. You are who we give glory to. And so, Father, I pray that we realize we are Your children. You bought us with a price. And so, therefore, Father, I pray that not only as we worship and praise You and give You glory as we come together, that each of us individually, Father, will praise You through our life, praise You through our walk, praise You through our work. But most of all, Father, praise You through our actions. So, Father, right now, I thank You for Jesus. It's all about Jesus. That's why we do what we do. That's why we praise You and give You glory, because of Jesus. So it's in His name I pray. Amen.